All right. Well, thank you and welcome back. Working Title is here. So I wanted to also preface this little bit that we're doing a little bit more. So Cleo and I have kind of been playing a lot with what we wanted to do in terms of our format.
Frantically scrambling for an idea.
Yeah, listen, we don't have I mean, where we had no idea, like, right? Yeah, frantically.
That's why it's called Working
Yeah,
Title.
exactly. It's not a joke. But yeah, we got this idea of like bringing each other these topics that we wanted to share about and see like kind of and get this peanut gallery response from the other. So I kind of was taking this idea from a class I took at Concordia. It was called History of the Night. It was a FAFAR 298 class.
Of the
Yeah, it was called History of the Night.
Night?
I know, no, it was wild. It was like all this, in addition to like all this like weird theory about night connotation and culture, like
Okay.
literally, like we talked about like the
What
whole like
happens
lunatic
after dark?
stuff and like yeah, and like what happens. Yeah, for those of you that don't know, if you, I mean, I'm sure this is something that people will. I feel like it's become Reddit or like Tumblr knowledge that people know. But like lunatic, the reason lunar is in the word lunatic is because apparently people used to be crazy about the moon, and
Moon,
that was
yeah.
then that was their like insult. Yeah. So anyway, this class was awesome. We like learned all about kind of the history of those like connotations and stuff, and we went on like a walking night tour of Montreal.
Okay.
So like we met like super late in the day, and we were like walking around like Saint Laurent,
That's so
and like
cute.
it was really
Oh
cute.
my
Like
God.
I wish I remembered my prof's name.
Oh
I know, I feel so bad, but you were great if you were listening.
no.
But it was really cool. We learned all about like this new. Sorry, and I realized my phone went off. It's bad form, Danny. Come
Terrible,
on. Yeah.
Danny.
No, so we went around Saint Laurent, like the old quote unquote downtown, and like red light district of Montreal. And she was giving us all of this like backstory and these little like hidden kind of stories, like about the brothels and like what they would do when like the cops came and all this stuff. And there was one story that she told that kind of stuck with me that I always thought was like super cool. And it's the fact that Montreal had its own folk hero bank robber woman by the name of Monica Proietti, and I can't wait to talk to you about her.
Heck yeah, I'm
You,
so excited.
and
I
you,
feel like I really missed out on, well, not missed out, I just didn't really research a lot of history about Montreal, like before or after I moved here. I kind of just like knew the basics and like all the monuments and the metro stops and stuff like that, but not the cool nighttime things that you only learn, so.
Yeah, no, it's like I literally same. I came to Montreal. I had family here and stuff, but I like knew nothing really of its history. And so it's really cool that I was getting to delve into this. So without further ado, let me tell you the story of Machine Gun Molly.
Okay.
So Monica Proietti, better known as Machine Gun Molly, she was, a famous Montreal bank robber throughout the 1960s. And like I said, she was suspected of masterminding at least 20 bank robberies before the age of 23,
We love
which
a
is
woman who
insane.
hustles.
Literally, we do. So she was born February 25th in 1938 to a Montreal family with eight other siblings, and she was raised on a house in Saint Dominique Street in a poor neighborhood in Montreal's East End.
Okay.
So she grew up like not a lot of luxuries. She had to share a lot of things, and her mother it was pretty impoverished.
Yeah, eight
So.
siblings is a long way to stretch
Yeah,
resources for sure.
I can imagine, especially back then, right? And so she had a grandmother apparently who there's a bunch of like former police statements that her grandmother was I hope I'm pronouncing this word tonight, aphasian, which is a woman who would teach kids how to steal at like out on the street, and they would
Okay.
all come back and like give her a cut of the tape.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
Come to
so
grandma's thieving class. I'll teach
literally.
you how to do it real good.
Literally. So she dropped out of school at grade 5, which like marks the beginning of her crime history. And at age 13, she was arrested for the first time for prostitution. She began working as a prostitute in order to help her mother pay, the financial needs of her siblings. And so in 1956, when she turned 17, she married a guy named Anthony Smith. And Anthony Smith was a 33-year-old gangster, so he was way older than her, from
Wow,
Scotland.
okay.
Yeah. And so the couple had two children together, Jeanette and Anthony. and Proietti spent the next few years being a devoted stay-at-home mother while she relied on Smith to provide financially. And however her simple life as a wife and mother would not last, several events of which happened changed the course of her life.
Okay.
And so, yeah, if it sounds like I'm reading from something, it's because I am reading my information from a nice, my source is the Dawson English Journal, and I've also collected some information from other sites like Wikipedia, you know, MTL blog, and other, like, Montreal little weird history sites about Machine Gun Molly. And so I'm kind of connecting all this information. So if it sounds like I read a bunch of different sentences, that's why. So, in 1958, her pregnant mother and three siblings were killed in an explosion in their home apartment, their tenement.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. It's awful. So she was, like, trying to save as many of her siblings as she could from the fire, but she was unsuccessful. And it was reported that she believed the explosion was no accident. And then she kept trying to confront the police about it, but the police supposedly never did anything. So she thought it was an
arson. Shocking.
Yeah, exactly. Shocking. So she thought it was an arson, and it's like a supervillain origin story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so in 1962, Smith, her husband, and Proietti were caught robbing Cafe Palmoa. And as a result, Smith was deported back to Scotland for 4 years as an undesirable. So Proietti was left to care and support for her two children that she had with this guy. And due to her lack of education and work experience, she was unable to hold a legitimate job, and she struggled to provide financially for herself and her family. But in the years to come, she met a guy named Vitur Tesser, which I really like that name. I hope I'm pronouncing it right. She had one child with him, and so she started this new life with this guy. But apparently, she has a type. This guy was also an avid bank robber.
Okay.
And he played a major role in teaching Proietti how to rob banks. So she helped him plan robberies until 1966, when he was imprisoned and sentenced to 15 years for armed robbery. And so again, she was like alone to like care for her children. Yeah. And so now she has another, right? So she's got three now. And so in the summer of 1967, she resorted to supporting herself by robbing banks. And so she left her three children in the care of her sister, and she started her life as a bank robber. And so during the course of the next 2 years, Proietti robbed a total of $100,000 from 20 different banks and credit unions in Montreal. And so I did the calculation of what that would... Yeah, exactly, right? I knew the question was coming. So I did the calculation of how much that was, and it's about $741,000.
Wow.
Yeah, like equivalent. It's crazy.
She did well.
I know, yeah. So she was doing well, you know, robbing her, being a folk hero robber. But so during her first few crimes, reportedly she was not the true mastermind. She was a smaller role. So she would just be, the Montreal Star reported that, you know, when she started, she was just the driver of the getaway car.
Mm-hmm.
But when the guys that she was robbing these banks with saw how, like, cold and icy she would be when they would be robbing these banks, they promoted her. And so it was uncommon to see a woman robbing banks, which is why she quickly became famous.
Mm-hmm.
And she became like a folk hero to the people of Montreal, you know, poor girl, like from a, you know, poor neighborhood, but was now like, you know, outsmarting the police and robbing all these banks and getting away. So they dubbed her Machine Gun Molly, but, you know, she was never, she never had a machine gun reportedly in any of her robberies. But the name apparently came from a weapon that she did use at every robbery. It was a gold-plated semi-automatic M1 Garand. I know, it's crazy. Like, that apparently one of her boyfriends gifted her.
Girl had style.
Yeah, she did. And so in order to get what she wanted, though, when she would rob banks, she took an aggressive approach. She would say, it was reported that she would fire rounds into the ceiling, she would intimidate people, she would yell, she would... And so, but her signature gun was always with her. But it was said she never harmed or killed anybody during her heist. Another thing that I thought was so interesting is she used like these different techniques to ensure that she wouldn't get like caught.
Mm-hmm.
She would like wear disguises. She would dress like a man. She would wear different wigs. She'd wear glasses, different outfits. And then in her daily life, it was said she would, like, dress super plainly and, like, very kind of maybe butch.
Inconspicuous.
You know, inconspicuous. Yeah, like you know, she would try to make it so she wouldn't be noticed.
Yeah.
But finally, you know, despite her efforts to stay hidden, you know, good folk hero stories come to an end. On the morning of September 19th, 1967... Proietti and her two accomplices, brothers Gerard and Robert Leviere, they robbed a credit union on St. Vital Boulevard in Montreal North. They robbed an estimated $3,000, and her two accomplices were quick to leave the scene, but she was not so lucky. So they hopped into a 67 Chrysler, which they, after a short chase, they crashed.
Oh, no.
Yeah, exactly. Then they jumped out and they hijacked a 67 Plymouth, and then they started rocketing down P-Nub Boulevard to make their getaway. So, but the police identified that they changed cars, and they were hot on their tail. And so Proietti was driving at 180 kilometers an hour to avoid arrest when they drove into the intersection at P-Nub and Dickens, and she slammed into a bus.
Oh.
Yeah. So the two brothers reportedly climbed out of the car quickly and got away, but she was too injured to leave the car. So according to the police report, she then stuck her revolver out the window and started firing at the police. Yeah, literally. And so as a result, they fired back at her, shooting her in the chest, and they killed her instantly. You know, so the police had finally ended the reign of Machine Gun Molly. But so the funds from the robbery, according to their diary, was meant to pay for the escape she had planned to Florida. And she was going to start a new life there and get out of Montreal. So unfortunately, her last job, quote unquote, ended up being the one that killed her. And so she's ended up being famous. Like, as I was looking her up, like, there's been a movie made.
Okay, I was going to ask, like, what media has been made about her.
Yeah.
I just have never heard anything about her, but yeah.
It's like, so there's a documentary, apparently, that, like, CBC did. There's a movie. Mm-hmm. There's also, like, a French-Canadian movie that they made.
Classic.
Yeah, I know. And a musical. I don't know
there's
the name.
There's a musical?
Yeah, I don't know the name of the musical. I really should try and figure it out. But yeah, it's so I got all this information from the Dawson English Journal, as I said before. So thank you so much. I just want to cite my source.
Praise be.
But yeah, praise be. But man, I as soon as I heard about that, like, we went to the place walking around in the tour, like, where the crash happened and where, like, you know, she had her shootout and like, last stand. And it's just like, it's crazy. It's crazy to think of, like, Montreal having so much history.
Yeah, you know? It's insane. And, like, I'm a huge fan of true crime, and normally it's more kind of like serial killers and things like that. But I've been watching this documentary, like an HBO documentary, about this girl, Michelle, and she was married to Patton Oswalt, actually. She wrote, like, she got super into, like, the online sleuth community and ended up, like, she was really instrumental in kind of helping figure out, like, making progress on the Golden State Killer case. And, like, she wrote this book called All Be Gone in the Dark, where she, like, interviewed a ton of people and, like, went all around Sacramento and stuff. But she has this one moment where she's talking about how she was kind of writing about crime for a while, and then she got to a point where she started to visit crime scenes that were kind of accessible to her
and
places where things had actually happened.
That's
and,
cool.
Like, that was a huge shift for her because it just made everything so much more real. And, like, I've never, aside from small places in Halifax, like, I've never really been in a place where something of that magnitude has happened. So I couldn't imagine, like, standing at the intersection and being like, this is where it happened. Like,
I know. Yeah.
Right here. Yeah. It's pretty, pretty remarkable.
No, it's honestly crazy. You know, like, it just, the ground we walk on is filled with so much history.
Yeah.
You know?
And Montreal goes back so far.
I know. Like, in terms of North America too, like, yeah, Montreal is just so crazy. That's always so crazy to me, is like how old Montreal is. But yeah, like, so in terms of other media, I did actually find a song called Machine Gun Molly. Yeah. By a band named Steve Stacy and the Stump Splitters.
Wow.
Which, I love a good frontman and the bandmates.
Yeah. Classic. It never does you wrong.
Yeah. It's always a good time. So, we're gonna, thanks for listening to that, Cleo. You know, I'm excited to see what kind of topics you're gonna bring when we do something.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm a big fan of this format. I think everybody gets to learn something.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And so, without further ado, we're gonna play Machine Gun Molly by Steve Stacy and the Stump Splitters. And then after that, we're gonna have an ad break. And then after that ad break, I think we're going to play a little bit of music for you guys before you hear back from us. So thank you for tuning in and thank you for listening. But keep that dial right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
Thank you. Montreal. Laying there in that dirty street, set the meanest woman at 5 feet tall.
Non esisto, non esisto, non esisto.